Well, let's start with prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just praise you for this day that you have blessed us with, for we know all things come from your hand. Lord, as we now look at your word and think about what it says about us and what it says about you, help us, Lord, to have open hearts and to be amazed by your forgiveness. And as always, we thank you for the privilege in his name. Amen. Well, let me begin by saying it's a great privilege to be asked to speak at our MOP service this morning. And when I knew that I was going to have to speak at a service with young families in mind, I asked myself, what's the one thing that families need to hear about, perhaps more than anything else? And the topic that stood out in my mind like a neon sign was forgiveness. So why do I think that? Why do I think forgiveness is so important for families? Well, when giving a diagnosis on the human condition, the prophet Jeremiah said this: "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" Jeremiah wasn't much one for flattery, was he? And family, by definition, is taking two or more people with that condition and not just putting them under the same roof, but building four walls around them so that they all have to somehow live together in a confined space. So if that's what family is, then what do you think that they're going to need perhaps more than anything else in order to get along? Forgiveness. And it makes no difference if they are 3 years of age or 33. Hence the topic of this talk. You know, I've read a lot of books on theology and I've listened to a lot of sermons, but nothing has taught me about the need to forgive and the need to be forgiven like being a father has. Let me give you but one example out of the thousands that I could from my own family. Well, those of you who know us would know that we have three girls, and in God's providence, not one of them is a morning person. And so when they get up in the morning, if one of their sisters should happen to do something wrong, then look out. You sat in my chair. You used my cup. You ate my toast. You messed up my bed. And in the tired mind of a 4 or 6 year old, every one of those is a capital offence before 8 a.m. And so there's mum and there's dad, that's me, doing everything we can to encourage them to forgive each other, you know, several times before we're even close to getting them out of the door. Welcome to family. And this is why I say parents should go and work for the Peace Corps after they've raised kids. Because if you can negotiate hostile situations like that day in, day out for years, then working for the United Nations will be a piece of cake. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is so important. Because in a fallen world, the question is not, will you be sinned against? That's a given. The question is, when you are sinned against, will you be able to forgive? And not just will you be able to forgive, but will you be able to keep on forgiving? American author Norman Cousins once wrote that life is an adventure in forgiveness, and the same can be said for family. So this is why we're looking at it this morning. Well, as we turn to God's word for some guidance on forgiveness, the Apostle Peter kicks us off with a question. And he asks Jesus, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive someone who sins against me?" And it's a fair question, isn't it? Because if someone keeps sinning against you, then shouldn't there be a point at which you can stop forgiving them? The expectation back in Peter's day was you had to forgive them three times. And if they did something to you beyond that, then all bets were off. And so when Peter suggested up to seven times, he was already suggesting a level of forgiveness more than twice what was expected. And so I'm sure he felt pretty safe when he suggested to Jesus seven times. And so when Jesus answered Peter's question, everyone standing there would have been absolutely stunned. Because Jesus said, and get this, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. And the way that he gave his answer in the original language is a little ambiguous. So we're not sure if he meant 77 times or 70 times seven times. But in one sense, it makes no difference. Because if all we're trying to do is put a number on how many times we have to forgive someone, then friends, we're missing the point. Because what Jesus is saying is that when it comes to forgiveness, you cannot put a number on it. That's his point. That's why he gives an answer that's just so ridiculously high. And so when it comes to our family and we find ourselves asking, how many times do I need to forgive my child? Or how many times do I need to forgive my spouse? Or how many times do I need to forgive my parent? Or even how many times do I need to forgive myself? You can't come up with a number to answer your question because the reality is there is none. Forgiveness is not an academic exercise. It's not a case of keeping score or making quota. Rather, forgiveness is a relentless obligation. It's a proclivity, a disposition. It is a willful choice that is linked to the very essence of who we are. Now, that's all well and good, but it's easier said than done, isn't it? Because anyone who has tried to forgive would know that forgiveness does not come easy. And so how on earth could any of us be expected to keep forgiving someone regardless of how many times they sin against us, especially when they're family? I mean, after all, don't we have the right to assume or expect better from family? So how could anyone live up to what Jesus is saying? You know, how could any of us be so forgiving that there's just no limit to our forgiveness? Well, before I attempt to answer that question, let me explain why this is something all of you have to aim for in your families. Well, firstly, you all heard Jeremiah's assessment of our hearts, and all of us are in that same boat. All of us are inclined to sin. And because families spend so much time together, the law of probability confirms it's inevitable that we are going to sin against each other. And sometimes we'll do that in big ways, and a lot of the time we'll do it in little ways. And it's easy to put on good appearances when we're out in public. But when we're at home, we get to be our real selves, don't we? And so families have to deal with the very worst in each other. I even see this in our cat. When our cat's outside and, you know, all the passers-by can see it sitting on the driveway, it'll sit there all day long like some kind of regal statue. But then we let it inside and all of a sudden it starts ripping into the couch like it's some bloodthirsty Wolverine. What is true of cats is true of families. And families spend more time together and see the worst in one another more than anyone else. And so what that means is that day after day, year after year, more and more sins keep getting added to the family pile. Not listening, not obeying, not sharing, not caring, not helping, not contributing, not considering, not serving, not protecting, not loving, not shepherding, very quickly it can grow into a huge pile. And if that pile isn't dealt with, if it's just ignored or swept under the rug, or if it is just accepted that's how things are, then as time goes on, the family is at real risk of growing further and further apart. Because the pile grows so big between them that they can no longer see each other on the other side. They can only see the pile that's between them. And so the only thing that is capable of continually keeping the pile low or removing it altogether is forgiveness. Forgiveness, it's like that skip bin that families can just keep dumping all of that stuff into so that their relationships aren't defined by hurt and bitterness, but by love. This is why Jesus' teaching today is so important for families, regardless of the age of our kids or where we happen to be at our stage in life. So coming back to my question, how do we become so forgiving that there's just no limit to our forgiveness and give our family the best shot? Well, one of the wonderful things about Jesus is he doesn't leave us out on a limb. He doesn't say, you guys have to forgive and to forgive and to forgive, period. He actually helps us to know how we can be capable of that by way of a story. And it was the story that was acted out by members of our youth group before. And so just a quick recap, the story he told is about a servant who owed a huge debt to a king. In fact, it was so large that in the ancient world, the debt, it would have been incomprehensible. And when the king said, it's time to pay up, there's no way that the servant can pay it back. And so he drops to his knees and he begs for mercy. And when he does that, the king takes pity on him and just wipes his debt away as though it wasn't even there. And anyone who was standing there that day and who heard Jesus say that, they would have been like, what? No one would have saw it coming. And so when the servant walked out, now a free man, he happened to see another servant who owed him a very small debt. In fact, it was so small that it's one of those debts you just wouldn't even worry about. But unlike the king, the servant took no pity on the fellow servant who owed him the small debt. And so when the guy couldn't pay him back, the servant choked him and threw him into prison until the debt was paid. Friends, Jesus tells us this story because he wants us to stop seeing forgiveness through our eyes and start seeing forgiveness through God's eyes. Because when we don't forgive someone who sinned against us, we become like the unmerciful servant in the story. We forget how much God has forgiven us. Friends, we forget the cross. Because whatever they may have done to us, believe it or not, it's not their worst sin. Their worst sin was to crucify Jesus, and friend, it's the same sin as yours. The way to become more forgiving is to remember how much you have been forgiven. Because what anyone has done to us, all of it pales in comparison to what all of us have done to our Lord. If any of us were asked to come out the front now and read a record of all of our sin, none of us could do it. I know I couldn't. But by telling us this story, Jesus is saying that if we believe in him, we won't ever have to read it because he has wiped it away with his blood as though it wasn't even there. Jesus is the king in this story. And people who have been forgiven need to forgive. So if you feel a growing frustration and resentment towards your kids because of their disobedience, or if you bear a grudge against your sibling because of something that they did to you or keep doing to you, or if you've found yourself crying because mum and dad were unfair, lost their cool, or failed you, then you need to take your eyes off what they have done to you and fix them on what Jesus did for all of you and forgive them. Because once you see him and what he did, your identity, who you are, is no longer defined by the sin that's been done to you or the sin that you have done to others. It is defined by him. And that new identity, that new relationship with Jesus, is what enables you to forgive them. It's the only way. Families need forgiveness. Every one of us needs forgiveness. And so every one of us needs Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Lord, how can we ever thank you enough for the amazing forgiveness available to us through your Son? Lord, that he took our sin and received our death so that we could receive his life. What an amazing God. Lord, who can comprehend the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height of your love for us in Christ? So, Lord, in the mayhem of our families and the frenetic pace of life, help us to never lose sight of the cross, that we may see your forgiveness and always be able to forgive. And we ask this in his name. Amen.
Last hymn of this morning, Amazing Grace. Now, if you think that your sin is